from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're about to ramp this thing up because we are at the Red and Gold Summit. Willard and Dibs for another hour before the rest of the gang gets here, and we're going through all of the red and gold as the season starts right here on the rooftop deck at beautiful Fremont Bank.
No, no, no.
You're damn right. You're damn right.
That's a three.
Why are you shaking your head?
Full service banking. You're supposed to say.
Dude,
where are you on that one?
357. Stay tuned.
That's your
357. Straight to me.
Come on, man. I thought you were Mr. Fremont Bank.
Yeah.
Anyway. I told you not to victory lap until we executed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll get him next time.
Speaking of execution, that's what this man does better than anyone. He has been one of my favorites for a long time. You notice in the world of football content on social media today, there are thousands of people trying to show you tape and break it down in the all 22. There is one man and one man only who has been doing this longer and better than anybody, and it is the senior producer at NFL Films and a name we all know, none other than Greg Cosell, who is going to join us every Wednesday right here on Willard and Dibs during the football season. And we are beyond thrilled to be a part of this. So welcome, Greg. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. It's really good to be with you, and we'll have some fun this year.
We darn well are going to. There's no doubt. So right here on the River Islands guest line, it is Greg Cosell. And one of the first questions I want to throw out there is specifically because of what just went down yesterday. We get to game week. We wake up to the news that Trent Williams is back. Greg, how would you describe through his career, especially with the 49ers, the difference in offensive execution with and without Trent?
Oh, it's significant for a number of reasons. And we can start again. You guys know that all I do is study tape. So let's look at it both from a passing game and a running game perspective. From a running game perspective, what you get is the fact that he gives you mobility on the edge. So their run game can be so much more diverse, multiple, because of his ability to work to the edge. He looks like a running back when he moves. And that's the critical piece in the run game, is it gives them so much more multiplicity. In the passing game, what you have to think about with the passing game is this. In the NFL, what is the most important down? It's third down. If your offensive tackles cannot protect one-on-one on the edge, then your whole passing game changes, because that means you have to keep in a back and or a tight end, not only maybe as a primary pass protector, but to chip. And that changes the route concepts. All offensive coordinators want to send 5 eligible receivers out. Trent Williams can block anybody one-on-one, and that allows the 49ers passing game to be as multiple as it can be, and that's what Kyle Shanahan wants.
Hey, have you seen any slowdown in his game since he's gotten into his mid-30s?
No. I mean, look, let's understand one thing. It's the NFL. Do guys get beat once in a while? Of course they do. It's the NFL. You're playing against great players on a weekly basis. But no, overall, and I've watched every game for years and years and years and years, I would say that no, last year was not a case where I felt like, man, Trent Williams is really slowing down. So, of course, he's missed time now. We'll see. You know, don't forget, he's still older, and it is week one, and we can certainly talk about the Jets because they've got a really, really good front set. And they put a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, I look forward to getting some Jets questions in there, but I want to ask you, Greg, about the totality of the offensive line, where they had a couple of breakdowns in the Super Bowl that may have cost them a touchdown in overtime. What do you make of the unit outside of Trent Williams and how they match up to other teams they're going to face?
Well, I think they're really strong on the left side. Williams, we just talked about. I think Aaron Banks has turned out to be a really good player. Brendel's been really solid at center. I think the right side is a question mark. As we speak right now, is it going to be Burford or Pooney starting on Monday night? Do you know?
Pooney.
Yeah, Pooney's going to get the gig this year.
Yeah, he was very impressive on tape in college. We'll see how he does. He's still a rookie. He's one of those guys that strikes me that he'll just be a really solid player. McKivitz, he, to me, is a little bit of a question. I remember watching him coming out of West Virginia. I think he struggles at times in one-on-one pass protection. And as I said, that can be a concern in the pass game, particularly on third down. But obviously, he's going to be the starting right tackle. He did that all of last season. He had some tough moments at times. So we'll see. So the right side, any rookie is a work in progress. And McKivitz can have some issues in pass protection. So we'll see how it goes. But I think from center to the left side, I think that's a really, really solid O-line.
Greg Cosell with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, NFL Films, and will be every single Wednesday throughout the football season. Greg, you're a guy, and this is why you're a throwback, you deal with facts. There are not a lot of people left that deal with facts in our industry, and so this is one thing I've been waiting to ask you. Does your head explode when you hear the Brock Purdy conversation? Because you watch things on film.
Right.
That I feel other people twist into things about the draft and the system and all of that. So what do you see when you watch him on film?
Well, it's funny you say I deal in facts. I deal in watching film. Now, people can say that different people can have different interpretations of film, but I deal in film. I don't deal in takes or interpretations. Brock Purdy does two things exceptionally, exceptionally well that were very hard to see coming out of college, because the college game, he really didn't need to do those things. Number one, and this is really, really impressive, is he is so good responding in half a second, and that may be too long, responding to late coverage rotation, to when a defense disguises coverage and they move at the snap of the ball and the coverage changes. He sees that instantly, picks it up, and knows exactly where to go with the football. Secondly, he has unbelievable anticipation. You don't have to make a lot of those kinds of throws in college football, but he is just a master at being able to throw the ball very often before receivers break. He has a great feel for zone windows and where do you throw the ball. Everybody thinks about playmaking at the quarterback position as being guys who can run around. Playmaking at the quarterback position is also about throwing the ball with tremendous anticipation. Now, you made the point about system. Every quarterback runs a system. That's not a negative. Executing the system at a high level is not a negative statement.
You said that because for years I've been talking about system quarterback not being pejorative, but rather
it's
being
not
praiseworthy of a guy who's running the system. This system is a lot of 21 personnel, Greg, as you know,
yep,
with the fullback and two wide receivers. Explain to me the difference between Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and exactly what their strengths do for the scheme.
Well, they're totally different players, which is good to have at the receiver position because you don't want every receiver to be the same. I would say that Ayuk is a really good receiver. I wouldn't say he's a true explosive vertical receiver in that he's going to just run by and get on top of corners with speed. So you don't necessarily say, boy, he's a big-time three-level dimension. He can win over the top at times with route running. But I would say Ayuk, and don't forget, this is where system does come into play as well, and that's not a negative. The higher percentage percentage of his splits came inside the numbers, okay? So that means very often that these reduced splits, they almost always result in free access into his routes. He's very quick into his route. He has tremendous route quickness. So what happens is that really challenges off-coverage corners. And he's got stride length because he's long. So he can challenge these off-coverage corners. Those are two things that are strengths of his game, route quickness and stride length. So Ayuk's a really, really good receiver in that sense. You know, I thought when I watched his tape, and I'm so glad he got his money. I mean, I never begrudge anybody getting money. But I'd say if I were to describe him as to what he is, I'd say he's a sudden, explosive mover. He's got nuanced route running traits. He's got great route quickness. He can separate and run away from man coverage. And he has zone awareness to work into voids. That's what he is. He's a really good receiver. Samuel's a little different because he's more physically built. He's more powerful. Obviously, in the context of this system, he's more multiple in where he lines up and how he's used. He's used in motion a lot. Obviously, the Niners are one of the teams that uses motion, maybe top three in the NFL in terms of percentage of snaps. So he's a. They're two different receivers. Samuel is really, really good run after catch.
Greg, I think this fan base is waiting for this answer. Might be a little bit of a weird question for you, but because Nick Bosa missed camp last year, and it seemed like at minimum he started slow, and he sort
right.
of spoke to that a little bit. Have you seen on tape through the years, because obviously now people are looking at Ayuk and Trent, have you seen through the years difficulty early in seasons with players who have missed camp?
That often happens, yeah. You don't forget, football, and everybody is concerned about players getting hurt, and that's a natural thing to be concerned about. Look, there's no question that teams that, let's say, have a star quarterback, you know, you don't want your quarterback out there getting hurt, you know, because if he gets hurt and misses a season, you're kind of in trouble. So there's no question that that's a major concern. So what very often happens is players are not necessarily in game shape, and so it takes them a little time. Sometimes they get nagging injuries, and that can happen. But Nick Bosa is obviously a great, great player. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be around offensive linemen, offensive tackles, and the way they talk about Nick Bosa is really, really high level.
And it would be a fun matchup against Tyron Smith on Monday night. You mentioned veteran quarterback, and I wanted to ask you about the tape on Aaron Rodgers. Not last year, obviously, four snaps.
Right, right.
Although I'm sure you watched all four seven times because it's your due diligence. And I put some respect on your name, Greg, because I know you do your homework. But the previous year in Green Bay, Mark and I have talked about how maybe he was slowing down and losing a step. What did you see on the last year of tape from Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about a guy who may be the best thrower for football we've ever seen. But I thought that in terms of his legs, he didn't have the same legs that he had when he was younger. And that would be the only thing that, again, might concern me. I'm very anxious to see Rodgers for that reason, because so much of the way a quarterback plays comes from the bottom up. And I'm really curious to see, you know, coming off that particular injury, too, that's a very serious injury in Achilles, if he still has legs. Because I thought he was losing a little bit of that. But by that, I don't mean just running around, although it clearly showed up in his mobility. It wasn't quite the same. But it's also in the way you throw a football. Obviously, just throwing a football, the guy is unparalleled. So we'll see. You know, to me, this is speculation now, and everybody's going to have an opinion. I'm usually not a guy who speculates. I want to wait and see him play. And, you know, he's playing against you guys on Monday night, so we'll see.
Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, joining us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Greg, what about Sauce Gardner? What's your take on him and how they'll line him up against either Brandon or Debo or both?
Well, let's understand a couple things. Now, certainly something could change, although I doubt it will, but Sauce Gardner is not a matchup corner. He has not been in his couple of years in the league. He lines up at left corner. DJ Reed lines up at right corner. They don't play them as matchup corners. So, it's, you know, he's not necessarily going to play only versus Samuel or only versus Ayuk. He's going to be at left corner. And the Jets, the strength, really, I mean, those two corners are really, really good, and Gardner is so long and and so athletic, and he moves so easily for someone with that kind of length. But their front six is really, really good, and they've got a number of pass rushers who can win with what we call speed to power, and that's the most difficult thing for offensive linemen to deal with. So Jermaine Johnson, I think, could end up being a star in this league just based on what I saw from his tape a year ago. Those two linebackers, Mosley and Quincy Williams, are really, really good players. And then because of that, they play almost all nickel as their sub-defense because they do not want to take those two linebackers off the field. Just like the 49ers, when Greenlaw is healthy, they pretty much play predominantly nickel because they don't want to take Warner or Greenlaw off the field. But this is a difficult defense to play against. They're very, very good.
Will they play more man or more zone in coverage? And also, looking back at the Super Bowl, Greg, the Chiefs played a ton of man, and it seemed to bother the Niners. Is that a trend that you see on film, that the Niners are better against zone than they are against man-to-man coverage?
Well, you got to feel comfortable playing man. The Chiefs had one of the best press corners in the league in Legarius Sneed, who is no longer a Chief. And Steve Spagnuolo, as a defensive coordinator, is a big believer in press coverage. He thinks that is an absolute key to playing quality defense in today's NFL. So the Jets don't normally play that way. It doesn't mean you won't see any press, but that's not their normal way of playing. So again, with a new season, an off season, a coaching staff that reassesses, we just don't know the answer to that, but they've not been a high percentage press man team.
Greg, when you look at these two defenses, and I know we haven't seen them yet this year, but there's a lot of the same characters in place, do you think these might be two of the, if not the two, best defenses in the league?
I'm always leery of saying that before a season starts, but you're dealing with defenses that have a lot of really, really good talent. So, you know, look, the 49ers have a new play caller on defense. We'll see how that goes. You know, sometimes that can take time. But I thought some of the moves they made, I mean, I watched a ton of the Houston Texans defense this summer, actually. In the summer, I tend to rewatch a lot of NFL just because I can watch it differently. And Malik Collins is a really, really good player. That's a really good signing for the Niners. Leonard Floyd can still play. You know, I've always liked Evandre Campbell. They have two linebackers now that have tremendous length. So you're dealing, you know, the main question to me is who's going to play corner opposite Ward. I loved Renardo Green coming out of Florida State. I don't know if he's ready to start. Only they know that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of talent on the 49ers defense. There's certainly a lot of talent on the Jets defense. This is a really good test week one for in a sense, for both teams.
Without a doubt, and you know, new faces, as you mentioned, new coordinator as well, and one player, unfortunately, who won't be there is Ricky Pearsall, who was a victim of a terrible incident earlier over the weekend. What do you make of his ability in this scheme when healthy for the 49ers?
Yeah, I loved his tape coming out. And by the way, I love Jacob Cowing, too, by the way. Loved him. Ricky Pearsall, to me, when he got drafted by the Niners, I thought that that was a really, really good spot. You know, it's funny. I remember the year they traded up and took Ayuk. I was sitting home watching the draft, and because I had done Ayuk, you know, obviously coming out of ASU, I just said to myself, that's a perfect spot for him, an absolutely perfect spot. So Ricky Pearsall, to me, I think he's a really good route runner. I think he's a separator. I just think he's a really, really solid receiver, and he's bigger than people think. You know, I think when people thought of Pearsall, because he plays more, you know, at times more like a quick guy, I think a lot of people had the sense that, you know, he's a 5'10", 5'11 guy. Ricky Pearsall is big. Ricky Pearsall was 6'1 at the combine. I just think that he turned out to be one of my favorite receivers to watch. I thought he was one of the better route runners. I thought he had a refined understanding of how to use his vertical stem. I just thought that he was really detailed and nuanced for a college receiver.
Greg Kosow with us here on 95.7 The Game as we move toward Niners and Jets. And Greg, I wanted to ask you this one, not only because it's significant for this game, but there's probably people listening who have fantasy football teams who would love to know your take on Breece Hall. Last year, he was coming off of a major injury, and by the end of the year, it looked like this guy could turn into, the best running back in the game, not named Christian McCaffrey. Henry. What's your take?
Yeah, no, I loved Breece Hall. I thought the year he came out, I thought he was the best back in the draft. He's big. He can run. He has an explosive element to his game, so he can take it to the house. He's a very, very good receiver. He is a complete back. I mean, in some ways, your point is correct. You know, as a complete back, he could be right there after McCaffrey, who's obviously the most complete back in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. But Hall has those kinds of traits and that kind of skill set. And he's about 215 pounds, so you're not dealing with a scat back kind of body. So Breece Hall could end up being a big-time back. The Jets definitely improved their O-line, you know, assuming Tyron Smith can stay healthy. When he was healthy last year with Dallas, he played at a really high level. He looked like Tyron Smith. So if it really is a function of can this Jets O-line stay healthy, because they've definitely upgraded it.
Selfish portion of the program, Greg. I've got Garrett Wilson on my team. What do you see from Garrett on tape? And how is this going to look? Start him or sit him, Greg? No, I'm kidding. What do you see on the tape from Garrett Wilson that I'll be able to enjoy this season?
Yeah, no, he's really, really good. I mean, he's a complete receiver. You know, you'd love to, for him to be a little bigger. He's only about, what, 5'10", 5'11", 180-some-odd pounds. But in this era of the NFL where more and more teams use motion and they get receivers free access off the ball, and there's a lot more formation variation, the size issue or lack thereof is nowhere near the same issue it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. He is really sudden. He's quick. He's explosive. He's a true three-level receiver. So Garrett Wilson, I mean, he'll be the number one receiver on this team. Now, Mike Williams, assuming health, I assume he's going to go Monday night from everything I see. He's really a tough guy to deal with, too, because he is big, he's physical, and he has speed to be a vertical player. So it's going to be really interesting. The Jets, this offense could be really good, by the way.
Greg, can we go back to Brock Purdy as well for this? Like, you, I love the way you talked about some of the intricate things that he does. What I would love to know is who else around the league does those same things well? Because comparing him to other players who are 6'4 and the number one overall pick becomes really difficult for people. Who would you compare him to in the league?
Oh, you know, I'm not good with comparisons, just like I'm not good with lists, because everybody's different. You know, Purdy is he's a timing, rhythm-based player. He sees it quick and sees it well, sees it right. He's asked to make a lot of difficult throws. Don't forget, in this offense, a ton of throws are between the numbers and between the hashes. Those are difficult throws. There's a lot of bodies there. The timing that's required and the precise ball location that's required to do that at a consistent level really says a lot about what kind of player he is. So it's not a matter of comparing him. You know, he's a really, really good player. The reason I imagine people have the people that have questions about him, and look, he's only played 2 years, but the reason I'm sure they do is because he's not as big as you like. He doesn't have a power arm. You know, he doesn't have a gun. He has way better mobility than people might think, and we've seen that a number of times. But he just knows how to play the position innately. And, you know, those are traits, too. People lose sight of what I spoke about earlier and what he's really good at. Those are traits. Everybody thinks of traits being, oh, he can run around, or man, he's got a big arm and can throw it hard. You know, the quarterback position is a very nuanced, subtle, detailed position, and Purdy is really, really good at those elements of the position.
We can't wait to do this every single week.
So good.
Especially when we got a game to look back on. So next Wednesday, we're already counting down the days, man. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to be with you guys every week. Thanks.
Okay,
thanks,
there, man. It is, the senior producer at NFL Films, Greg Cosell. That was meaty. That was good.
Meaty.
And I'll give you the first thing that went through my head just listening to all of that.
Okay.
Sounds like he thinks the Niners nailed the draft, too.
Yes, and sounds like he thinks, you know, pending the tape, because we don't do prognostications, that would be a prognostication sensation is
That's
what
about.
That would be.
Yep.
But what he does, what I hear him say is that they have a lot of really good players and a coach who's really good at scheming offensive football. He thinks they're going to be good.
Yeah, although same for the Jets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good players in this game, man.
And you
know what
I just
realized?
There's
a lot of good players in this game.
You and I were poking through the depth chart getting ready for Monday. You know what this game is, right?
No.
Javon Kinlaw revenge
it
game.
It is.
Bum,
yeah.
Bum, bum.
Yeah, looking at that Jets defensive line, I was like, good player, good player, good player. And Javon Kinlaw.
Well.
So there's that, too.
I guarantee you he's going to be motivated in this game.
Sure
also,
he will.
DJ Reed, revenge game, former Niner in the second.
Yeah, and he is a good player.
And
he's
probably
player.
less agitated by the recent doings.
No question, but. No question. All right, we are getting so close to where this really ramps up next level. Bonte and Joe Stein and Guru are going to be here in a half hour. But coming up next, the assembled crowd, we're going to get you guys involved a little bit with some Niners-related questions as we sort of use you as a precursor to the even larger crowd and group that'll be up here in front. So we're moving toward the Red and Gold Summit. Starts at 4, right here live, Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Got to come join us. Beautiful day, beautiful setting, right here on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, here we are at Fremont Bank. And so glad you're all here. The gang is not quite all here, but they will be shortly. One more half hour before Bonte and Joe and Steiny and Goo. And then a little bit longer after that before Lo Neal gets in here. And a little birdie is telling us that maybe some former 49ers might stop by the building.
That's not for air.
That's why I didn't use any names.
Okay.
That's why I didn't use any names.
Yeah.
And the little birdie might have been lying, but a little birdie told me that could happen. But anyway.
Might have been a really big birdie, too, like pterodactyl size up in this piece.
Squawk! Yeah, it was pretty big. But anyway, for those of you not here yet, get here because the fun is already going and it is about to get even better. And look, the food is out.
The
food is out. So the food is on the field.
Totally.
So get on over here. 39150 Fremont Boulevard, Fremont Bank. deck, rooftop deck, perfect day, not a cloud in the sky. Come join us, and we will talk red and gold, and also break down a little bit or react to what we just heard from the senior producer of NFL Films, going deep into the matchups for Monday night and the individuals out there, Greg Cosell, who was fantastic.
Yeah, and my takeaway in terms of the breakdown for the gamblers in the audience, take the under. These are two very good defenses.
I don't know what the over-under is.
I was about to punch it up. I would guess that it's going to be 41 and a hook. Couple of good defenses. Monday night, Niners, you know, fresh off a loss against Kansas City 7 months ago. So somewhere in there, we can punch it up. But just the idea of their defense, and as we were talking to Greg, you and I both looking at the depth chart, and like you said, man, a lot of familiar names, a lot of good names, a lot of good players at all three levels. So I do think it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive slog in this one.
Well, and you're also looking at game one, and so there's going to be timing. There's going to be get all the, get the cobwebs out
right.
kind of a situation, especially when you are dealing with a still young quarterback who all camp. No Brandon, no Trent, and that's one answer that did stick with me, which is asking Greg, hey, do players who miss camp often have a hard time for the first month of the season? His answer was yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
they
the Nick Bosa comp from last year was a good one, and so you've got Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams both in that same boat where neither one of them partook in camp, and now Brandon is back at practice, but he missed camp, and when he missed camp, he didn't participate in camp. And Trent totally missed camp. So now you're asking these guys to come out and be ready in a week's notice. It's going to be a little bit of a run-up, I think, for both. And how it affects you on Monday night, we'll find out.
What did you say you thought the over-under
41 and a half.
41 and a half?
Yeah.
Boy, then you really should take the under. 44.
Okay.
44.
There you go.
Hard eight.
Yeah.
44.
But I do think about the way the game lays out, and, you know, I can't help but wonder how much rust Aaron Rodgers will have after 364 days of no football and being 40, almost 41 years old. Feels like it's going to take him a little time to get ramped up in this game.
You would think, and obviously his primetime Levi's Stadium record is not good. I know that you did some Aaron Rodgers research and data, and I'm curious to hear what you found, because I do think us 49er fans, we think of Aaron Rodgers, and we think, oh, Niner defense is going to make life hell for him. They own Aaron Rodgers. But what did you find?
Well, I found a bunch of things, and I'll try to keep it simple for the audience. But in the regular season, Rodgers is 6-3 against the 49ers. So that feels like he's owning the Niners more than vice versa. But I looked at it because you said something yesterday about, well, I want to know about the Shanahan 49ers.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's 49ers.
Well, he was 2-0 against Singletary.
Okay.
And he was 1-0 against Jimmy Tomsula.
Okay, who's not Bruce Bochy, but anyway, go ahead.
0-2 against Jim Harbaugh. And
interesting.
Aaron Rodgers is 3-1 against Shanahan in the regular season, but he's 0-2 against Shanahan in the postseason.
In the playoffs. Okay.
So an even 3-3. What my research told me, Mark, to just distill all this down to one real takeaway, Aaron Rodgers struggles against the Niners when the Niners are good.
Well, that's what I, like you
when
say.
When the Niners aren't very good, he has his way with
there
them.
There you go. You say he's 3-3 against Shanahan. My recollection, and I could be wrong, is that the 49ers have won the last three. Is that correct?
Well,
because I'm trying to remember three games.
No, they haven't won the last three.
Okay, but there's the NFC title game. They blow the Packers out, right?
Yes.
Okay, there's the Hufanga game.
Correct.
In Green Bay, and then there's a regular season game that I want to say was on a Sunday night.
That's the game the Packers won. 30-28, no. Mason Crosby.
I'm talking about at Levi's. Levi's Stadium, they blew Aaron the heck out. I remember the game. They blew the Packers out.
Yeah, that was, I'm just giving you
the
list of games. 2018, Rodgers wins.
Okay.
The Niners were 4-12 that year.
Okay.
2019, the Niners win. The Niners were 13-3 that year. 2020, the Packers won. That was the injury year.
Yes.
6-10. 2021, they won a thriller. The Packers did. And then they would go on to lose in the NFC championship game.
And then the
divisional
game.
And the Niners lost. So In the playoffs, the Niners are 4-0 against Aaron Rodgers. In two of those years, the Niners went to the Super Bowl, and the other two, they went to the NFC Championship.
So I don't even know how much you can take from that, but if you're going to take anything from that, I would argue that like the Niners would be in good shape on Monday night, because you said that Rodgers doesn't beat the Niners when they're good, and I think they're good on Monday night.
Right, and I think that this team reminds me, Jet team reminds me more of Aaron's second to last year with the Packers when, you know, they were really good, and that was a game at Levi's, and the Packers won it 30-28. It was week 3, Mason Crosby with the winning field goal to beat Jimmy Garoppolo, and I just went into that game trying to remember it for myself, and I was looking at the Niners leading rusher in that game, Trey Sermon.
You didn't need to say that one twice.
No, I did.
I got
10
it the first
carries
time.
For 30, because I was looking at the stats.
Yeah.
And the Niners rushed
John
for
John Sally.
Thank you. John Sally. The Niners rushed for about 57 yards, and I thought, that doesn't seem right. That was the Trey Sermon era.
Wow.
That was Jimmy Garoppolo.
I forgot that even happened.
Trey Sermon.
Yeah.
And Sanamon Hanu was also on that team.
We're going to get the audience involved here in a sec here at Fremont Bank. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's also take some calls right here in Fremont. Let's go to Neil. Neil, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Awesome, doing well, man. How's your guys' week going?
You know, we're doing pretty good, Neil.
Yeah, thank you, man. No, I'm excited. I think we've been counting the weeks since week one. Me and my wife got married last weekend, so it's been a really fun time on my end. But now we're at the hours, right? We're right down that home stretch, and we have Thursday night football right around the corner. I wanted to talk some lines with you guys, though, because you got me excited to talk about the Niners game, which I do love the Niners -3.5 on Monday night football. But I wanted to pick your brains on two games that I think stood out to me. One of them was the Titans against the Bears.
Yep.
And the reason why is because I saw Caleb Williams, as great as he is, QBs drafted number one overall are 0-14-1 in their first start since 2002. So that's the first game. I'd love to hear what you guys think, who you're siding on, and who you think is going to cover and win that game.
Well, just correct me or back me up on this. Is the number in that game 3.5 in favor of the Bears? Is that right?
I believe it's 4, so Chicago's a -4.
Okay, yeah, I love, and I mentioned it already, love the Titans plus the points in that particular game. I think that they've got a reworked defense. I think, obviously, they've put weapons around Will Levis with joining DeAndre Hopkins. You've now got Calvin Ridley. You've got Tony Pollard, who I like in the backfield, but it's more to me about their defense, which I think is going to be a good one this year, and I think that spread is based on Caleb Williams' excitement rather than any data, because there is no data.
Totally agree. No, yeah. I think that's absolutely true, and I think you're right. I mean, that's the thing about these early-on quarterbacks. They're rookies, right? So, I mean, it takes time for them to get accustomed, but hey, I'm on the same mindset as you, and it feels a lot better knowing that you're saying that as well.
Yeah, but what do I know? Try another one. Neil, do you have another game? Ask Dibs.
I do, and this is a fun one. It's the Raiders at the Chargers, and the reason why it stands out to me is because, I mean, it's practically a home game for the Raiders from what it seems like, but their defense with Wilkins, they sound a lot better. So I'm not sold on Minshew, but I think that team may be pretty tough to beat. I'd love to get your take on, I think it's +3 now.
It is. The Chargers, Chargers are a 3-point favorite in that game.
Yeah, when these two teams get together, you can throw the records out, especially when they're both 0-0. That's not my big takeaway.
That's a good take.
It's a wonderful use of a cliche.
Hey,
that was
Neil.
Radio brilliance, Neil.
Neil, aren't you glad you called so that you could get that? Please continue.
I mean, what's to say? It's week one. It's all just reach back and see what you can find. I honestly think when I look at this game, Jim Harbaugh is the real deal, and he's reworked that entire franchise, and I think that he comes out and he looks to make a statement against his former team, the Raiders. I like the Chargers in that one at quote-unquote home.
Yeah, I think it's a total stay away. I would not touch that game at all. You're getting a three-point spread between two teams that seem to always play a 16-13 game.
Yeah.
There is no home field when it comes to that whole thing. You're right. You got new coaching staffs with both teams. I got no idea what to expect. I ain't even putting $2 on that game.
Well, while we're in the gambling space, let me offer you a couple of stats, if I may, about your guy, Brocky Poo, Brock Purdy against the spread, and Kyle Shanahan against the spread.
Okay.
How do you think these two guys have done over the balance of their career thus far?
The balance of their career, I'm pretty sure. So Brock played 16 games last year, and are you including playoffs?
They've got 27 games listed for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that I think that includes playoffs, because didn't he go 16, and it was 6 the year before that, and then the playoff games.
Yeah, yeah.
I would argue that Brock is probably, man, probably only narrowly over 500. If it's 27 games, I'm going to guess that he's 15-12.
Look at the big brain on Brett.
Did I nail it?
Nailed it. Nailed
it.
15
yeah.
and 12.
Yeah, and who was the other one? You asked about Shanahan?
Shanahan.
I mean, my God. Like,
he's
and
got,
this is his entire 9 or 10 year?
Right. He's got 127 games listed. Over or under 500 would be the easy way to do it.
Under.
He's actually over 500
okay.
against the spread.
How much?
Grandy, can I get a buzzer for my partner?
It would feel no, because you didn't give me a ding when I nailed it. Like, no.
I don't control the dings.
Thank you. And then a double ding because
you did nail
like
it.
I nailed it.
On the number.
Thank you, Grandy. All right, go ahead.
Shanahan, 66, 60, and 1 against the spread. So for those of you looking at the Monday night game against the Jets, throughout Kyle's career, he's just about 500 against the number. So just a little bit of a gambling moment
yeah.
as the sliders come out. And the celebs are now in the building.
Yeah, they are.
All
yeah.
four of our homies. Shasky's already headphoned and ready for a Woo! Preamble. Bonte's got a delightful young lady in his arms.
Let's
his
wait.
Child.
No, let's do this, actually. Let's kind of gather everyone in. It's not 4 o'clock yet. But, no. hey, listeners and everyone on scene, let's take a moment to welcome in a lot of the esteemed guests. First of all, Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky are here. Jerseyed up.
Little louder.
Steiny and Goo.
What's
Steiny
up?
And
Good
Goo are here.
Good to see you.
Say hello.
Oh, yeah.
Steiny yeah.
and Goo.
Much
not
better,
Jersey.
Much better, yeah.
Not Jersey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
Have to let me
no.
talk.
And so there's that. And then there's the thoughts of you, the crowd. So along the lines of what we were talking about just about an hour ago with regard to your reaction to Kyle Shanahan, I want to hear from the crowd assembled if you would have a positive reaction to Kyle Shanahan right now as a head coach. Give a round of applause. All right. Now make some noise if you have a negative reaction to Kyle Shanahan. All right, you. Get over here.
You're the one.
Get over here. Someone give this man a microphone. Get over here. Yeah. Come on over here. Set him up, Tim. I want to talk to this gentleman right here. Yeah, yeah. When you get a chance, come on over. No, come on. You got one guy. You got to speak for yourself. Here, yeah, get that headset right there. Get this headset right here.
Okay, this
yeah.
is dramatic.
All right, does it work? Say check 1, 2.
Yeah.
Check 1, 2, good. 1, 2.
Good.
Mike,
yeah.
what, please introduce yourself. Thank you for coming, first of all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's your name?
My name is Brian. I'm a football fan.
Okay, you're not a 49er fan.
I love good football.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay,
all right. And where are you from, Brian?
Hercules.
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 Hercules. Yes.
I'm sure you've never heard that before. All right. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. Why are you down on Kyle Shanahan?
He's cost the 49ers three Super Bowls?
Three Super Bowls. Which one did he cost them that he didn't even go to?
So, first of all, they should have rescinded the offer when he blew the 29-point lead as offensive coordinator in Atlanta.
All right.
If I may quickly, it was 25, but it wasn't really that because when he was coordinating and they got the ball back, it was actually 28-9. So that's become one of my pet peeves. The narrative of him blowing a 25-point lead. New England scored on the opening possession of the third quarter, so he really only blew, if you want to put it on him, a 19-point lead. Please continue.
We can go into onside kicks if you want to talk about coming out the second half.
Sure.
We're going to do all the different
as
possible
a coordinator,
scenarios.
Not his call.
But that's okay.
Okay.
They could have just taken the knee, but he drops back seven-step drop back. The quarterback's sacked, fumbled, and now they give up seven the other way. But we won't get into that.
No,
Say, they should have rescinded it at that time.
Have you ever blamed a loss on a coordinator before? Before that, that's my question. Is there any other game in NFL history that we put on the OC?
There were, but we won't get into it.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
Now,
why else? Yeah.
Who's the greatest quarterback in NFL history?
who said
I'm sorry.
Purdy?
Now, who's the second greatest?
Jeremiah,
Brock Purdy.
You keep piping up. You're fun. All right.
So,
in my opinion,
is Dan Marino.
Okay.
Okay. Now, no quarterback coming.
So you have a bunch of incorrect opinions.
Okay.
But go ahead.
No quarterback coming out of college is worth three number one picks. So when you look at your Dan Marinos. If you want to throw in Tom Brady or Joe Montana, saw some Jim Plunkett jerseys out here.
Yeah.
But if, like I say, no one's worth a three number one draft picks. So what they did was they gave up three number one draft picks for Trey Lance.
Why would you argue that no quarterback is worth three number one picks?
Unknown commodity.
Well, but Pat was
unknown commodity.
But it might be like would.
Oh yeah.
Would
yeah.
you trade three first round picks for Mahomes now?
Mahomes today, yes.
Yeah.
He did not go number one, or three
didn't.
When he came out of college.
I hear you, but yes. like the concept that a great quarterback is not worth three number one picks, I would disagree with. They obviously completely failed the pick, but you're going for it, right?
Right, right.
Okay,
I'm
going to
say, Peyton Manning, the legacy, the parents, he's probably the best recruited coming out of college.
Okay.
But like I say, no number one, unknown. Plus, Trey Lance didn't have, because of COVID, the full years. So they wasted three number ones on a Trey Lance.
Okay.
Now, if you had Jalen Waddle was Miami's number one pick that they traded. But if you had Micah Parsons as the other number one. With those two players, you mean to tell me the Niners wouldn't have beaten Kansas City in that first Super Bowl with Garoppolo, the last Super Bowl, if they had two great players that they gave up for Trey Lance,
right.
they never
they might have blown the pick.
Right.
It could have been Javon Kinlaw
they
syndrome.
They could have blown the pick.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But did they get credit for all the picks that they did do well that have led to this roster? Like, do we?
That's the difference.
But I know, but
those two number
one. We don't know that, actually.
No.
We don't even know who
it's
they would have picked if they had kept those. I guess you know, that's always my response.
Oh, no,
like, I
right.
get you what you're saying. But if you're gonna only focus on the misses, we could probably do this with everybody, right?
Well, it's not that he missed, but he gave up and sold the picks. And he never should have made that big of a gamble. Now he has to pay for it. And that's all I'm saying.
Brian,
thank you, Brian,
for grabbing a microphone.
Brian, yes.
Thank you for your courage.
Took a lot of courage against this angry
mob
now.
It sure did.
Angry mob, they're all pounding sliders and Sprite.
Y'all are out here with sliders, and you don't even care that Brian's over here ripping Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, he made some good points.
I don't know. The whole thing is, to me, it's always kind of a push-pull, yin-yang type of a conversation. And that's why we were talking earlier about, like, the two kinds of people in the world of Kyle Shanahan assessment. Sure, there's the misses, there's the blown leads, and then there's the, wait a minute, like they've owned the fifth round or they've owned the third round. And there's the, supposedly, someone who chokes away playoff games. I saw him rally in the fourth quarter and win two of them last year.
My dear friend, who's going to be here in about an hour, no, not Matt Steinmetz, but Lorenzo Neal, he has a saying, you can't pray for rain and then complain about the mud. And the 49ers were in the mud. And I was running this down earlier, Shasky. I'm glad you're here. About Aaron Rodgers' record against the Niners. And he was 2-0 against Singletary and 1-0 against Jimmy T. And so after Chip Kelly's 2-14, the Niner fans were in the mud. So you're trying to pray for somebody to come in and fix it. This guy came in and fixed it. And is he perfect? No. But I'm in a space where you've had more success here than you had since Harbaugh. And it's even been more prolonged now than Harbaugh. And you're in a better spot than you've been since the Walsh and Seifert transition.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yes, he's not perfect, and he's boning up on overtime rules and deep throws and all the rest of it, but I wouldn't throw him out for anything.
I mean, I kind of start to get tired of the whole, yes, he's not perfect thing, because nobody is. You're going to have bad play calls, bad seasons, bad luck, whatever. I don't know, four trips deep in the playoffs in 5 years, and at times not even having a good quarterback, at least that's the assessment now. I don't know. To me, pretty impressive. But I get it, and we can keep talking it out. It's definitely going to be a part of the next 2 hours. Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, everybody's thoughts, all of you, Lone Neal. And by the way, I'll remind everybody that all of it is streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. So if you want to watch this all play out with Bonte and Joe and Steiny and Goo and Willard and Dibs and the crowd on site, you are welcome to do that as well, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Of all things, of course, we are presented by Fremont Bank. Yeah, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with...
No compromise!
Yes, with no compromises.
There you go,
now
partner.
We're getting somewhere. So we just did a little practice. That's all we needed. We're talking about practice. So anyway, here we go. The Red and Gold Summit 2024 preseason, as the season is about to begin, is upon us. So Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky, Steiny, Goo, Willard Dibs, Lone Neal a little bit later, all coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.